Hey everybody, this is Patty. Welcome to The Witching Hour. We have a fabulous, very magical guest for you today, the one and only Mia Magic. She's an author, she's a witch, she is the ultimate nature girl out there in Topanga Canyon. But before I bring on Mia Magic, where's Patty? Because once a week on Mondays, I have to look at my calendar and figure out where I am and where I'm going. If you are checking this out the week we first drop, which is the week of Monday, March 11th. Yes, we are into the third month of 2024. Yes, we are into the year of the dragon, the wood dragon. And I am home. I just got back last week from Las Vegas. A wonderful trip, I am sure, to the Halloween Emporium. If you're ever in Vegas and you like Halloween and you like witchy things and paranormal things, definitely go to the Halloween Emporium. So next month, April, I will be in Arizona, Globe, Arizona, which I have no idea where that is, but I'm going to be at the Old Globe Paracon. I think it's an old Western town, probably lots of fabulous ghosts. Then May is busy one. Join me in Romania, a witch and vampire tour with me, the witch, and Father Sebastian, the vampire, going to all sorts of magical and spooky and wonderful places in Romania. Also in May, I am going to be at Pennhurst Paracon. My first time at Pennhurst, I have been wanting to go for so long. And then on my way back, practically, I'm going to be in Texas. So lots of places. June, I am going right to Spirits in the Sky. There are so many things that I cannot list them on. So go to pattynegri.com and you can see my whole list of where I am. You can get to my correct and real social medias from there. My YouTube, my Instagram, my Facebook. And of course, this week, every week in town, Tuesday nights, check out a class with me at University Magicus, my very affordable spirituality and magic school. I've been teaching mediumship development, psychic development, seance classes, spell crafting, psychic protection, all sorts of things that we need to know in this day and age. Wednesday, grab your popcorn, grab your goat. Every Wednesday is the Witches Movie Coven, where Heather, Richard Lael, Courtney, Jason, and I, and some amazing special guests, talk or argue or talk about witchy movies, old and new. It's really fun. And because it's live, you guys get to get involved in the conversation, give us your opinions and thoughts, and we all vote. Wands up or wands down. So join us there. So that's where I am. I am right here with you right now. So know where you are, because we don't want to be asleep at the wheel. We want to be conscious. And today I'm conscious. I'm here. Hey everybody, it is time for the Willow Report. Yes, indeed, she actually was not sleeping on the couch today. She ran downstairs and started barking at me. So I figured it must be time for the Willow Report. I wanted to talk a little bit about dogs. We've talked about how they sniff everything when they're out, what I call pee mail, that they pee on things. Do you know dogs' noses are 100,000 times stronger than us? They could smell everything. They could smell their friend dogs that were there. Right? They could tell what their friend dogs had eaten. They could tell the mood their dog's in. Guess what? They can actually smell our emotions and how we are feeling. That's why when we're sad, they hang out with us. They come up and say, Mommy and Daddy, are you sad? Why are you sad? When we don't feel well, they always show up. When we're angry, be careful of that, because they usually get really scared and they don't know why you're angry. Or they say, are you angry at me? No. I do have to sometimes remind Carrie about that when he's like yelling at a baseball team or a football team. It's, no, Willow, Daddy's not yelling at you. He's just yelling at the Dodgers. But they're so magic. They are so loving. But remember, they can smell how you're feeling. So when you're in a bad way, they're there for you. And when you're in a real angry way, let them know that it's not angry with them, because they're empaths. Almost everybody listening, you guys are empaths too. And you know how we take on other people's stuff. So do these little fur babies. 100,000 times stronger. Anyway, that's the Willow Report. Smells good to me. For this week's magic lesson, let's talk dragons. We indeed have just gone into the year of the dragon, the wood dragon. It's a great year. Lots of amazing things can happen and a little bit of chaos. a bit of chaos. It started immediately in my world, but who doesn't love chaos, right? But sometimes it's really great to have a little helper to get you through the chaos and life in 2024 generally. So today I'm going to teach you how to create your own dragon, charge a dragon. Now what we're going to really make is a fetish, not like a tickle your foot fetish, but create a real living entity out of an inanimate object, a little plastic thing, a little crystal, a little 3D dragon. I have been creating spirits in dragons for years, and they are one of my secret weapons to my magic, to my manifestation, to creating everything from health and happiness and love and money all along the way. Because dragons are crossroads beasts, where angels are up here in the heavens and beautiful, and they can enlighten and they can protect, but they're up there in the heavens. Dragons can fly between heaven and earth. Therefore, they live at the crossroads, and where crossroads happens, magic happens and empowerment and shift. So get yourself a little dragon. I can't tell you, and I can't tell you how many movie stars, sports stars, politicians have my little plastic dragon sitting right next to their altar or their bed or their computer or their kitchen table. But get any kind of a dragon. 3D dragons are very popular right now. Get a fancy dragon, a statue, but it can't just be a picture of a dragon because you're going to have to feed your dragon. So find yourself a nice little dragon. You got to give it a name. He, she, it, gender fluid, doesn't matter. For example, we're going to go with Puff. This is Puff the Magic Dragon. You want to give Puff a job. I'm going to use personal assistant. In my experience, who doesn't need one? We all do. And a personal assistant can do something different every day. You're Puff the Magic Dragon. You're my personal assistant. You give me a long, happy life filled with love, travel, joy, health, whatever it is you want. You do have to give it an end date, though, because you are creating a spirit. In 6 million years, Puff doesn't need to be Patty's dragon giving Patty's life. I've moved on. I'm somebody else. I'm somewhere else, more than likely. So until I don't want you anymore, until I don't need you anymore, or until I pass from this life. So one day if I go, I am so tired of dragons and getting everything I want, and I throw this dragon in the drawer, he doesn't die in the drawer. He just dissipates into the universe. So you give him a name, Puff the Magic Dragon, and then, as in any good creation story, you breathe life into your dragon. Remember, your breath is your life force. It's your pneuma. Your moisture in your breath is your free will. So breathing your breath into your dragon. And now your dragon has got a spirit created, and that spirit is going to be as big as you allow it. This little guy is really about the size of Los Angeles and bigger when I need it, and he still fits in this little vessel. But what you have to do is talk to it every day, or almost every day, and feed it. Now, it doesn't eat, but it drinks, and it drinks a lot. So what I get, the lid from a little water bottle works really great, from like an Arrowhead or Evian bottle. Sit it right under there. I get fancy sometimes, and I buy little, for a couple dollars, dollhouse chalices. Fill it up with your water, your whiskey, your vodka, whatever your dragon says. And every day when you're like, okay, dragon, I got a headache today. Take away my headache. It will. Or, oh, I'm feeling broke. I need a money opportunity. It will. I'm lonely. Have somebody call and go to lunch. It's amazing how they work. Since I've been teaching people how to use dragons, I've literally seen them stop health issues, including myself, stop abusive relationships. They, even my most famous one, and I've told this story before, is they broke the LA Dodgers Sports Illustrated curse. The Dodgers were upset because Sports Illustrated did a special on them, and then they tanked. And sports people use the word superstitious versus spiritual or magical. Superstitious, and it's that curse, self-created, I'm sure. And we charged a little blue dragon, and they won the playoffs and then the World Series. My most amazing one of what dragons can do, not me, a girl charged her dragon. She left it home when she traveled and said, take care of me and my family at home and my girlfriend's there. She was at a big concert. Her dragon said, leave now. Her girlfriends made fun of her, going, what do you mean your dragon and what we paid for these tickets? She drugged them out. Seconds later, that horrible massacre at Mandalay Bay happened right where they were standing. She believes her dragon kept her from getting shot or killed at very least. So your dragon will be as big as you will let it. It might have an outside voice, like, do this. It might have just an inside knowing, turn left here, a little bit like your intuition, a little bit like your spirit guides, but it's different. It's a worker bee. The dragon, we create spirits all the time. Spirits of struggle, spirits of success, spirits of love, spirits of lack of love. Create yourself a worker bee dragon and your life will never be the same in all good ways. Now remember, you have to tell it what to do. It doesn't know on its own. It's not like your spirit guides who suggest things. So you keep a good relationship with your dragon. Go get a dragon and have a secret weapon of your own. Dragons are everywhere. You just have to create them sometimes. I have some really good magic for you today. I have some Mia magic. Yes, the one and only. She's an author. She's a witch. She is the ultimate nature girl, Mia Magic. Welcome. Thank you so much, Mia, for coming on.
Yes, thanks so much, Patty. I'm so excited to be here.
I am thrilled. When I found out about you, I'm like, oh my goodness, I love everything about you. You are a nature girl. You have this beautiful new book out that I've just been going through fabulously. So tell everybody a little bit about this.
Yeah, so my book is called Intuition, and most of us are familiar with the law of attraction as a manifestation process or practice. But there are actually 12 universal laws, and one of them that I have used so much in my own life is the law of correspondence. And the statement or the idiom of the law of correspondence is as above, so below, as within, so without. And that's really what my book is an exploration of, is understanding how everything around us has messages and meaning and significance for us, and everything that's going on within us. We can work with our external reality to support our healing, our growth, and again, our manifestation. So I really discovered this work in so many deep ways, but primarily through the understanding that the earth is our body and the earth element is our physical environment. It's our job and career and our finances, our health, our home, our car, everything in the material world. And even that word matter, material, matter comes from mother. And so it is all about our relationship to Mother Earth. And then our bones are like the stones of the mountains. And then when you look at the waters within us, the blood, the sweat, the tears, those are the rivers and creeks and streams inside of us. And the water element is our emotions and our sexuality and our creativity. And then we breathe in the wind that is given to us by the natural world. It's exchanged between us and the plants and the algae, and the air is that breath, of course, of life, but it is also the way that we communicate, the way that we express ourselves, and it's our thoughts. It's that intangible realm. And then the fire is the electricity that makes our hearts beat and that sends all of this information and chemicals, and we call what properly functioning neurons do firing. Because this is the fire inside of us. It's the electrical system, and it's the element of transformation and action and motivation. And when I realized that we were reflections of the elements and of the natural world around us, my entire life changed. And I started really working with the elements and working with my own body and my own breath and my own action and transformation and emotional realm and sexuality and creativity to really manifest what I wanted and to transform my life from being totally broke and homeless for almost 3 years and just utterly lost and miserable and confused and depressed into someone who's running a very successful business and has an amazing book. I got a 4-project deal with Hay House and all of these incredible opportunities and wonderful partnership, incredible community. And I used the wisdom of nature and the energy of the elements to do that. And so that's really what the book is all about, is exploring how we can both receive the wisdom and information from that world around us and use ourselves as a reflection of that world to change what we see in the reflection.
Yes, I agree 120%. Again, I work elemental. I have these little relax. Put it into your air. Put it into your fire. Everything that you're saying. So you guys have got to check out this book. And one thing that I noticed, again, I love that the rise in witchcraft and that, because hasn't the world gone numb? Hasn't the world not become aware of nature and our moon cycles and our everything, asleep at the wheel, phoned in, automatic pilot? And this is a wake-up call, a much-needed wake-up call.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah, I think that's why people are unhealthy in so many ways, is because we're separated from nature. Even there was no such thing as obesity in the world before, and it's because we've turned our food into poison instead of medicine. And our food, plants used to be the only thing that we had. That was our entire pharmacopoeia. Any ailment, any disease that you needed healing from, we only had plants. And so I think that we've just all forgotten that. Most children can name way more name brands like Nike and Adidas from their symbols than they can name vegetables. And I think that's a huge problem. And yeah, people are, and that's part of it, I think, is that because, again, like that as above, so below, because of the destruction to nature, we have to numb ourselves, because otherwise we would be agonizing pain. But then I think we are actually unconsciously in that agonizing pain. And then we have to numb ourselves because of the ways that we're destroying nature. So it's really quite a vicious cycle that's occurring. And I was certainly in it and part of it in my young adult life, and was very unhappy and unhealthy physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. And it took a lot of work to change the trajectory of my life. And so it's a lot easier to just stay numb, even though to me, like, it definitely doesn't feel easy to stay miserable. But the actions that we have to take, that fire that we have to light within ourselves in order to experience transformation, it can be intimidating and scary. And it has become the best, most important thing and priority in my life. But it takes a lot of courage to get there.
I love that. Like, you are action oriented. Everything in your book is like taking action, the listening versus hearing and all this stuff. And again, I use different words. Yours are probably more eloquent, but that's because when I work with people, again, it seems like we're all out of balance. And to me, that connects right to nature, because as you were saying, this is who we are. We are air, fire, and water, and earth, and things. So what are if somebody's out there going, okay, I am a little bit asleep at the wheel, or I'm phoned in, or along the way. I know your book gives lots of ideas to do, but what is something that somebody could go, okay, I want to just start, I'm at any level of starting this. What's something I could do to change in my action or my consciousness, to take action or consciousness to create that life I want?
Totally. The first thing is really taking inventory of where your life doesn't look the way that you want it to. And so for me, when I really started making these big changes, is it was around purposeful work. That was where I started, is I wanted to feel fulfilled in my job, in my work. I didn't make much money at all. I was totally broke for several of the first years of my business, but I felt so alive doing it. So really looking at what is the main aspect of my life that isn't working for me, and then understanding what element that's related to. So for me, again, the earth element is our material reality. It is our job and our career and our finances, things like that. And so what I did is I just started spending as much time in nature as I possibly could. And I'm from the Redwoods. I'm from Northern California, from the deep old growth forest. And so I would just go and spend time. I was like driving up to Northern California. We live in LA. And I was driving up there as often as I could and just spending time in the Redwoods or anywhere else. Obviously, LA has so much beautiful nature surrounding it. But I really worked with the earth element. I want to feel that solid, stable, grounded foundation. I want to feel that eternal generative energy that is the abundance of nature. I want to feel that balance and harmony that exists when I go outside and hear all of the birds chirping and everything's lush and green. I wanted to feel that within myself. And green is also the color of the heart chakra. So it was really working on, can I feel worthy of this type of job? Can I rewrite the stories of how hard I have to work in order to attain success? What does success actually mean to me? So that was my particular experience, was really working with the earth element. But if what you're finding is that you feel really depressed and you really want to experience an alleviation of some of those feelings of like depression, right? Being pressed, pushed down. Working with waters, like taking long, beautiful baths, working with your shower, Of course, I recommend Wild Waters. I really highly recommend people get out into natural environments, go swim in a lake or the ocean or a creek or a river, because you will be exponentially more healed by that. But even something as simple as charging your water with your intentions. Oh, I'm going to drink this water today. I've been feeling really depressed. I'm going to charge this water with joy. I'm going to charge this water with gratitude, and I'm going to hold my water, and I'm going to list out the 100 things I have to be grateful for. And even if you don't feel like you have anything in your own life to be grateful for sunlight, be grateful for food, be grateful for the roof over your head, be grateful for the fact that you have clean water. Really find anything that there is to be grateful for in life, and you can charge your water with that. And cellularly, your water will affect you differently. And so again, understanding which element is associated with the thing you most want to change in your life, and then working with that. And for me, just being out in nature in general, no matter what, even if it's just a park, forest bathing, shirinyoku, the Japanese art of really immersing yourself in a forest environment, has been proven scientifically to boost your immune system, lower your stress response, lower all of your stress hormones, decrease anxiety, elevate your mood, enhance mental health and well-being. Like, just hanging out with trees for a few minutes can be such a miraculous healing modality. And so that's really the easiest thing. Then you don't have to do anything. You don't need, it doesn't have to be a specific ritual. You don't have to cast any spells. You don't have to do anything except just go and be with nature, and maybe bring a journal and leave your phone on airplane mode, and really just have a moment where you get to experience the way that we all once used to live in harmony with the natural world. And you will experience, at the very least, a new level of peace or harmony, or receive some insight and inspiration. And even the word inspiration is like to have life breathed into you. And so when you're out in the world, breathing in that which is created for you by the trees, you tend to have a shift of mind as well. And that has certainly been the most impactful practice for me of all.
That is beautiful. And again, I agree wholeheartedly. And you can, I don't care where you live. I travel constantly. You can always find a tree. In the middle of New York City, you're in the middle of Los Angeles City, in the middle of Detroit, there is trees. I've seen them. You can find it. And they're the information keepers. I will go put my spine, my backbone, my chakra like around and just say, talk to me. And they are there. And again, our awareness of them can help save them and our beautiful little planet that needs so much love and care right now. You said you had a Northern California hippie-ish upbringing. So did your nature path lead you to a more witchy path, or did your witchy path lead you to a nature path, or are they one and the same?
I think ultimately they're one and the same, but yeah, I wouldn't have associated myself with the word witch when I was young. I was definitely still programmed into the same type of beliefs, but magic I was interested in. I was very interested in magic. I was obsessed with fantasy and fairy tales and power. And my favorite book was called In the Hand of the Goddess from the time I was like 7 or 8 years old through until it might still be one of my favorite books of all time, because it just, the significance of that title has meant more and more to me as the years have passed. But yeah, my parents are very hippie, nature is church kind of people, but that was never talked about. There was no conversation about God or the divine in my household. Both my parents were raised very strictly Catholic, Irish and Italian Catholic, and they had left the church after their teenage years. And so they didn't want anything to do with religion because it hadn't felt good to them. And so we didn't have any religion. And so it was really up to me. And I remember coming to my mom at 21 years old, and I just had my spiritual awakening. And I was like, Mom, what is God to you? What does that word mean? And she goes, oh, honey, I've waited so long for you to ask that question. I don't even really feel like talking about it. And I was like, what? Why didn't you talk to me about it at any other time? And she was like, because I just wanted you to come up with your own idea. I didn't want to ever form it for you. And so what ended up happening for me is that I started really, nature did wake me up in the middle of New York City. I was just telling this story with a friend of mine, and this story is in the book, but I was walking on 6th Street between Avenue, First Avenue and A, and I had a very Christian boyfriend at the time who had this very strong dialogue with God. And so I was really just miserable and low one day. And I was like, just looked up and I was like super hesitant. And I said, God? And immediately, with the way that the wind rustled through the leaves and the sun shone through the trees right into my third eye, it was like, yes, I'm right here. I'm all around you. I have been here all along just waiting for you. And so nature woke me up in the middle of New York City. And then I went home, asked my mom that question, had my dad take me to the Redwoods, and really started connecting with the natural world in a way that allowed me to feel God everywhere that I was. And so then I really worked to reprogram that word. And then I finally had this profound relationship to the goddess, to the feminine aspect of creation that's been stripped from major religions and taken away from godliness and divinity. And then I realized how obsessed I was with magic. I got very into ceremonial magic and the tarot and astrology, and I was very deeply connected to magic, but I still hadn't claimed the witch. And so then finally, I put on a witch hat at Burning Man one year, and we took all these photos, and those were my first photos that ever went viral and that people just felt this connection to. It resonated so deeply with them to see someone wearing the hat in a connotation that wasn't evil, that then I realized how much we all yearn to reclaim that word. And of course, because witch means wise or one with wisdom, one who sees, one who knows, it was like this rupture, this disconnection from nature has all this rupture, a desecration and a separation of and from. It was really, I was always, from day one, I just called it different words and I used different fantasy books to help guide me, and lots of Harry Potter and all of the things to help me understand magic. But it still wasn't something that I believed wholeheartedly that I could attain or access or wield. And so it was a really big, beautiful journey, but absolutely it was nature that made me a witch. And I feel so grateful that I get to come from such an incredibly beautiful natural environment that helped me and guided me. And truly, I don't have a ton of human teachers, but the redwood trees and the dragons and the elemental realm, those are my greatest teachers in life by far.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yes, and I love your pictures in the witch hat. I love your pictures. I was, again, very similar. I wasn't raised with any kind of religion, but I saw the energy going by a church or a temple or a mosque or a park primarily. And then I wandered into the same thing, nature. This, because I knew what to do with like weird rosemary and stuff when I was little in my suburban LA home. And I love that you're a dragon girl. I'm a total dragon girl too. Now we're just entering the year of the dragon, which is great. And it's a little chaotic. I love it. But I also think it's going to be so powerful. But the chaos has begun a little bit. So how do dragons work with you? I know we work with them in lots of ways. How does dragon affect your life? How do you work with dragon, the energy itself?
I really see them as an alchemical union of all the elements, the same way that we are. So I've had many different experiences with dragons, and I met the first one in a past life regression, and it was showing me, it was by this little body of water, and it was showing me how it was using the water and that its scales were like solar panels that were able to do both photosynthesize the way that plants do, but also receive this osmosis of the water. And that process of being like a solar panel that could absorb light and water was how they then breathe the fire, and that this fire is this very liquid fire. And they have that very fluid way of moving, and then they fly, and then so in the air, and then they are these guardians of treasure. In every mythology, dragons are present in every major civilization all across the world. Whether it's Siberia or Hawaii or Alaska or South America, there always are dragons in mythology. And so I do wholeheartedly believe that they were on and part of this planet. And so I work with them in terms of understanding that alchemy of all the elements. What is the treasure that I'm meant to safeguard and keep? How do I allow myself to receive the light of the sun and then be able to shine and act and move forward? What am I meant to be the warrior and protector of? And then for me, one of the main frequencies that they really worked on with me and feeling it in my body is they do a lot of psychic surgery. So they will literally cut open parts of my aura with their talons and take out negative programs or pain or limitations and then allow me to figuratively fly. So I do think that's a big part of my work with them. And then another thing that I've really learned deeply from them is around, so if we think of ourselves having this seven chakra system, dragons tend to have more than that, but the central chakra, so the sacral chakra, the second, the third chakra, the solar plexus, and the heart chakra, the fourth, what I've been told by the dragons is that is one energetic portal for them. One cauldron where that heart chakra, that's the chakra of love and breath, you breathe the life of love into that chakra that, or the portal that is the power and the light. And then love is what's fueling the power, and the power is what generates the creations in the sacral chakra and our creative portal in the cauldron. And so really working with that, how can love fuel the power of my creations? How can I breathe life into my own power and my own gift and my magic and allow that to be what then bring life to, whether it's my book or my oracle deck or my business or my relationship? And so that has certainly been a piece that I've worked with. And even when I've gathered with other dragon sisters, sometimes we'll just come together and hold each other and feel those three chakras align, and then literally we'll be birthing baby dragons into the earth and home into this realm together. And yeah, I've just really worked with them as deep. To me, they feel like a cross between the angelic realm and the elemental realm. So if literally the elements and the angels became united, as if the, because we obviously feel that the elements are very much alive and are sentient, just operating in different time and different vibration than we are. But that is definitely how dragons show up for me, is as angels that have helped and supported and guided me so much. And that's another reason why I just don't have human teachers. I'm like, my teachers are trees and dragons. Yeah, it's been a very beautiful path. But that's one of the things I think that makes me a unique teacher, and why people love my Year of the Dragon video, and why path and my teachings are unique, is because I'm not getting anything from like other witch books or some person who has some relationship because of their trauma to this particular way of doing things. Like, everything that I have comes from direct experience or directly from nature. And it's been a really incredible gift to be able to share the medicine that has healed me. And that really is ultimately what my magic is, healing magic. And I learned that from the dragons and from one of the most resilient species on earth, which is the redwood trees. So it feels like a pretty amazing gift. And dragons, to me, I feel them very much in the redwood forest as well. It's a really potent, deep, wild woodland where they certainly love to roam.
They do. I love, and again, I learned mine direct from dragons too. And we have, and you are saying they connect earth and up. That's what I always say. I go, they are crossroads beasts. We know magic happens at the crossroads. And they can fly between heaven and our earth. And that's where the power is. I've actually, what I started doing decades ago is teaching people how to create their own spirit of dragon to call in this. And we feed their little dragons. Wow, since I've been doing this, literally showing people how to work with their dragons every day, I've had them stop. The dragon energy stop abusive relationships. Break the LA Dodgers Sports Illustrated curse. The Dodgers called me in and we charged a little blue dragon and they won the World Series. It got somebody else out of, she left her little dragon home. And it's just a vessel for the spirit you've created and work with. Got her out of that massacre at Mandalay Bay. Her dragon said, leave now. She put voice to her dragon, and just teaching people the magic of it, whatever your belief system. So I love that you say exact same thing I do with a different languaging, because we need many languagings. for the same thing. The dragons are needed now. Again, it is not our parents, grandparents' world of black and white and right and wrong and solid ground. We have no solid ground. So what do we need other than a dragon who could fly through the air and the earth and the water? So that is beautiful. That,
yeah.
So also, I know, I love it. I love how you spell magic with a K, but not the C. I spell it with the C and the K. We know the one with just a C means you pull a rabbit out of a hat and do card tricks, but I love your magic with a K and not a C. You brought the magic part of it into it. So,
yeah. I've had a lot of run-ins with the Crowley lineage, his CK magic, and it just has never really resonated with me. And I think that everyone who's following this system of this great wizard who died alone of like a heroin overdose in a dingy apartment, like, to me, that's not the life that I'm looking for. That's not a role model that I would ever seek to follow. And I've had some really unusual run-ins with people who are deep devotees of Thelema and some of that Aleister Crowley type of magic. And it's not to say that I don't think that there's so much value in Gematria and in understanding the legends of Babylon and really working with beautiful codexes and doing ceremonial magic and understanding how to create ritual. But to me, again, like a lot of what I see through that lineage is very disempowered, or like the people are not healthy. Their energy is very dark. They're very obese. They're like their like vital life force energy is super low. And so I've really seen that magic with a CK kind of drain people. And it just doesn't resonate with me. And so the K for me is a nod to the Ka body, to the Egyptian mysteries. I am such a student of Mary Magdalene and of the Isis sex magic lineage in the tantric tradition, and of how can we bring that Christed consciousness, the miracle healing, the hands-on energy that allows people to transform and awaken. And so I love seeing the Ka body, like that Egyptian higher self or energetic soul imprint that's part of you. That's really such a big aspect and element that I work with and that I'm intent upon charging up for myself so that I can continue to be of service and to bring more magic into the world. And so that's my magic with a K little explanation.
Well, I think it's great. It's in your name. I use the CK, though I've never had run-ins with, I'm not a Crowley devotee or a Thelemite or anything like that. But luckily that word is getting a little more mainstream. But you have
totally.
You have a lovely twist on it. I like that.
Thank you.
Yes. I like you. Actually, you do a lot of play with words like intuition, and you use the word sorceress with the word source in it.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, that word source, the old source, like even sorcery, where it all comes from, whether you spell it like source, the way that we speak about God, means to rise. And then the suffix O-U-S, outrage us or contage us, means to be full of or abound in. So if we are a sorceress, the way that I spell it, S-O-U-R-C-E-R-O-U-S, then we are rising into our abundant fullness. And that, I think, is the best way to wield power, right? If I am full, I am whole, I am fulfilled, let me overflow. And that overflow is what then feeds the world, the community, the audience, the students around me. And yeah, so Sorceress is a program that I do have coming up. Sounds like the day of this episode, we have this amazing free event and Sorceress coming very soon. And really, that is so much my intention, just to connect people to these infinite sources of magic, which I have found in the elements and we can all access at any time. And it's just so healing and also so generative, and allows us to then reclaim this symbiotic and synergistic and reciprocal relationship with the natural world. And yeah, I play on words as much as I possibly can. I'm like, there's too many words in the English language that have been turned against us. And like words like lunatic, oh, to be in alignment with the moon. Words like insane, sane in Latin means health. To be insane literally meant to be internally healthy. And then we turned I in from being inside to anti or against. So if it's in, if it's inside of ourselves, now it means, oh, something is like, when we use in as a prefix, like means that it isn't or it doesn't, because it's so, we're so separated from that power inside of ourselves. So I'm always reclaiming words for myself and really allowing them to do what they originally were meant to. And even the word is like that. Word comes from W-Y-R-D, which was pronounced weird in old German. That's where we get the word and weird. And it meant destiny, because we are weaving our destinies with every word we speak. And because those of us who are willing to go away from the herd or the flock or just from the same old normal path as everybody else, we're the weird ones and we are moving in the direction of our destiny. So yeah, I'm such a word witch. I just love
that makes
making
me so happy.
It all.
One of the first things I noticed, and I love you said, because you, like, I have a school, you have a school. So tell everybody a little bit about your witch school and what that is and what you do have coming up.
Yes. So thank you. Yeah. So I have an amazing school of magical artistry. Witch school is a beautiful 6-week, really just fundamental experience of diving into building a magical life. Then I have an elemental embodiment program that's, again, just like 6 weeks and is more how to start working with and connecting to the elements. What's coming up right now is Sorceress. This is a deep embodiment journey. So it's based with rituals. That's really the foundation of the program, is doing specific tantric and embodiment and somatic healing rituals that will not only support your manifestations, but really allow you to get out of your own way, to transform limiting beliefs, to utilize your sexual and sensual energy to support your manifestations. I have like beautiful little money magic and love spell. The money magic ritual is one of my favorite things ever. We've had people manifest like $100,000. One girl manifested 3 million euros from a relative that she didn't even know she had. So we've had an amazing results with money magic and with love spell. And yeah, it's all really, I feel so grateful. I just gave a workshop on personal branding for another friend's community. And I got to share that every single thing that I put out and that I offer in my school is something that I stand behind wholeheartedly. Every single thing that I offer will fundamentally transform your life and your relationship to magic. And I started as a one-on-one coach. I used to be an executive coach for actors and athletes and all of those things before I claimed the word witch. That was when it was still just the magic. And that's how I got the name Mia Magic. And I really supported those people in coming into fullness of expression, safety in power and in magic, being able to build purposeful careers, releasing scarcity and stepping into abundance. And so my training was as a coach. I'm certified in 15 or so alternative healing modalities. And so I really utilize my innate witchy gifts as a healer and my deep training in mindset and social and emotional intelligence coaching to really help people just get out of their own way and step into whatever their most magical selves and lives look. And it's so much fun. Having a school it's just such a gift. And what a blessing for me to see and witness elders who have forged and blazed a trail, and who I'm sure got a lot of flack when you started doing this a few decades ago. And I just feel so honored and blessed that I get to do this and I get to watch people have these massive wins. And I run retreats at castles in Scotland that are like going to Hogwarts for the week, and lots of beautiful wild rituals outside in nature and deep connection and friendship. And every single one of these people that comes to my retreats, they're all still friends. Like the group chats are still running 2 years later and everyone's still just so deeply connected. And it's because our magic is so real and we are designed to remember it and to live in service to it. And yeah, that's what my whole ecosystem is all about. And now Intuition is my book and is the very first step that everyone can take on this journey. And then I just have a myriad of other ways to access and amplify more magic in your life from there on up.
So tell people before we go, I cannot thank you enough again. You guys are going to love her like I do. So tell people where they can find you, where they can get your book.
Yes. Okay. So you can get Intuition absolutely everywhere books are sold. It's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And yeah, everywhere that you can buy a book, you can get Intuition. And I am Mia Magic, spelled like this, M-I-A-M-A-G-I-K. So that's my Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, website, absolutely everything. We do have a couple of amazing retreats coming up this year in the Redwoods, and we always go to a castle somewhere in Europe if you want a little more fantastical, bougie, luxurious experience. But yes, everything is Mia Magic, M-I-A-M-A-G-I-K, and you can find all of my courses and programs, free events, everything on my website, miamagic.com.
Thank you so much. Check her out. Thank you, Mia Magic, for bringing your Mia Magic to the Witching Hour.